You're listening to the Mazingo Baseball Podcast. I'm your host, Harold Mazingo. Just a brief introduction on myself. I was a 15th round draft pick by the New York Mets in the 2003 MLB draft. And I was a 6th round pick by the Kansas City Royals in the 2006 MLB draft. I spent 6 seasons pitching professionally, and now I own Mazingo Baseball. And I am very excited to welcome y'all to the Mazingo Baseball Podcast. Enjoy. All right, welcome back to Mazingo Baseball Podcast. I am thrilled to have Matt Paluski, owner of PBS Baseball in Pittsburgh, join the show. So, Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey, Harold, thanks for having me. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak with you today on what is a very cold winter day here in Pittsburgh. So I'm not happy about that, but definitely happy to chop it up with you and talk some baseball.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, look, just trying to start it off, I want to talk to you about your facility there, Performance Velocity Systems. How did that come about?
Okay, so it happened by accident, and by accident, I mean a bad one. My son suffered an arm injury at a tryout the August after his travel season had ended. And like any father, I was filled with a lot of questions, maybe some guilt. You know, did I do this? Did he play too many games? And, you know, he had what was called OCD elbow, which is Latin for a phrase I don't really remember. But essentially, the radial head was ripped off of his arm. And, you know, you get to have a lot of time to wonder about things when, you know, your firstborn is hurt. And I had a lot of questions for myself and how I had raised him as a ball player. And, you know, I found a lot of people online that were willing to help me, people that are, you know, a lot more famous now, like Kyle Bodhi and, you know, Randy Sullivan and others. I often kid that I knew these guys when they had no Twitter followers on the old message board days, which I'm sure you recall. But yeah. So I got a lot of help from those guys, and I kind of realized that everything I knew about baseball was pretty much wrong. And what I mean by that is how we cued players, how we, you know, trained them, different platitudes that I believed in my whole life were not exactly correct. And so when I got to that point, then you know, it's not a leap to kind of go further and find out what else you're wrong about in the game. And so I at the time I was an assistant baseball coach at a local high school. And this is one of those local high schools that's, you know, very talented. They win a lot. It's just a big school with a big pool of talented kids. And so it doesn't take much to be a great coach at a school like that, because there's so many gifted kids. And I certainly was not a terribly gifted coach. So I kind of went into some new things that were new to me and certainly new to everybody around here. And, you know, I found Kyle's stuff and I found Randy Sullivan's stuff, and I started to implement them with a small group of athletes that had nothing to lose. These were your guys that were, you know, not A players, maybe not thought of as varsity starters at the time. And honestly, I did it for free. You know, I wasn't charging any money or anything like that. And we used the facilities at the local high school, even though these kids, some of them weren't from the high school, which is totally illegal. And, right. You know, we kind of just used whatever we could. And one day I get a call from somebody while I'm at this, you know, place with my wife listening to a Gin Blossoms cover band. And this guy says, you know, hey, this is Sean Casey. You know, I want to have my kids train with you. And I thought somebody was messing with me, so I hung up on him. And he called back, and I hung up on him again. And then he sent me a text message. This is back in, like, the 3G days, like, before, like, right. iPhones. And he explained who he was and how he got my number. And then I was like, oh, crap. This really is Sean Casey. And everything you've heard about Sean Casey, by the way, is 100% true. He's a great guy, very conversational, just a salt of the earth, good guy. And he wanted his son to do what I was doing. Back then, they kind of say what they say now. I heard you, quote unquote, do driveline. And so I explained to him, you know, that we do some of their stuff, but, you know, we kind of do some other stuff too. And apparently back then, he, and I don't know if he still does or not, but Al Leiter worked with him at the MLB Network. And Al's son, who is super famous now, but no, I don't know who the hell he was back then, his son had done that, and Al had explained to Sean what was going on. And so Sean just kind of put it in his back pocket, never really thought about it. And so one of the kids that I mentioned earlier that was in that group of B players, his name was Jeffrey. And he went from like 77 miles an hour to 84 in one summer. And so he was like the talk at Upper St. Clair, like, what the hell have you been doing? And as soon as he mentioned driveline to his friend Andrew Casey, Andrew, of course, told his father, and then his father sought me out. And so I ended up with, you know, somebody who could send their kid to anywhere around here for training, being the most, one of the most famous professional athletes from this area. And he chose to send them to this little nobody, which would be me. And of course, like the next day, I got 14 phone calls, and I said, well, I better start an LLC here so I don't get sued or, you know, can figure out some stuff like that. So I called my friends that ended up in the legal business, and they helped me form an LLC. And as far as the name, you know, I just was looking for something that was a little bit different, that had, you know, the first letter of my last name in it. And, you know, because I was teaching velocity, I threw that in there. And then the S just came from really a systematic approach to how I wanted to train players. It wasn't really rooted in anything that was like an old platitude or anything like that. So it totally happened organically. It was a giant accident. These misfit toys that I accumulated that had arm injuries, they turned out to do well. And they, you know, spread what they learned here. And we got a reputation of being one of two things. Number one, you know, a really good place to train, a great culture. Number two, that's witchcraft. Don't go there. You know, so we were basically, and to this day, we're kind of still in the middle there. But the problem is for those people is now we have like 20 professional pitchers in here, and, you know, people want to train where those guys train. And so we're really lucky to be able to do this, talk to great baseball minds like you whenever I want to. And then when I walk in my gym, I'm almost always surrounded by a professional athlete in the winter. And that to me, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 7 years ago, when this started, was absolutely crazy. Like, that just would just never entered my mind. So the short answer is it happened by accident. The seminal moment was an arm injury to my oldest born son. And I just became very curious academically in a way that I never was as a younger man. I mean, I would be up very late. You know this, I will hit up people randomly, you know, and ask questions, and the very generous ones will get back to you, and the ones that are too busy, maybe not. And I've been hitting you up for probably 3 or 4 years now, and before you there were others. So I've been the recipient of a lot of help, and therefore my limited knowledge that I have now, I try to be just as generous as other people were to me back then. So there's a lot of people that not only believe in this stuff now, but really truly want to learn for themselves. And so I try to pay it forward with the you know, dozens and dozens of people that helped me learn what I was able to put together to help those athletes then and now.
Nice. Well, that's awesome. Yeah. So it looks like the baseball world on Twitter has been a very good platform, right? Like, there are so many people willing to help you. I don't think many people really understand how that community works. Right.
Right.
So if there's any sort of young coaches just trying to get their foot in the door, I would highly encourage them. Reach out to people. Like, you'd be shocked at the amount of people willing to help. So,
can
yeah,
I share
it's
with
just
you,
been awesome.
Can I,
yep.
Can I share one story with you that really highlights what you just said, Harold?
Yep, absolutely.
So we have a kid. He's a young man now. He played for, I want to say, the Claiborne Railroaders in the American Association.
Okay.
His name is Michael Krause, and he was cut in high school. I don't think he ever made his varsity team in high school here at a high school called Franklin Regional in just outside of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And Michael went to Xavier University, and he bought Hacking the Kinetic Chain, which was a fortune for a college kid. He went through all that stuff, taught himself everything, found himself wanting to go seek out Eric Cressy. And, you know, he did that. And now Eric's one of the biggest names in baseball, obviously, as he runs a lot of what the Yankees do in terms of the weight room and stuff like that. And then he reached out to me, and I told him, hey, man, you've been training with Eric Cressy and all these other guys. You're great. Why don't you just get in here and we'll just talk. And we would spend hours together just and never really getting anywhere. Just kind of, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And he found me on Twitter, and then he randomly found a guy in Texas who I consider to be one of the best baseball coaches in the country, Brantley Freeman. He runs Atlet Sports, and Brantley's a young man. He's got a new family. He at the time when Michael reached out to him on Twitter, Brantley had a newborn. So Michael would tell me stories when he'd come in the next day, like, yeah, I just talked to Brantley and we're working on this or that. And it's great because he's so generous. You know, he works with Noah Syndergaard, and then here he is talking to me, and I could hear his baby like in the background crying. And I was like, right. That just kind of illustrates and highlights exactly what you said, that there are good people that will help you. And it's not always about the money. It's about, I think, paying forward the game that has given us so much in terms of, you know, whether we provide for our families through baseball or whether we just enjoy it. There's something about baseball that I think is just inherently good and inherently giving. We want to grow the game because we love it so much. So I really like to tell the story of Michael, who then, by the way, went on to St. Bonaventure's and played Division I baseball. He transferred to Mercyhurst and was lights out. I think he was Pitcher of the Year in the PSAC, which is a very competitive Division II conference in the Northeast. And then the contract to play pro ball for the American Association and did very well with them as well. A nice story about exactly what you said, that if you reach out, whether you're a coach or a player, you find the right person, they will help you.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Good. All right, so let's dive into this. So this was not meant to be about the torch screw. Let me start off by saying that. But you have been probably the best form of advertisement I have when it comes to this torch screw. I'm not going to really get into the torch screw much, but you've been putting that thing to use in a phenomenal way. And the whole point of that torch screw really goes towards what elite throwers do with the back leg, right? And that's where we want to take this. And that's kind of where I want to take this. And I'm going to let you kind of control the direction of where we start here. But that's the topic, back leg and elite throwers.
First of all, anybody that's listening to this, if you don't already have one, I would get one. I bought three right away. And the reason why, you know, and I'm going to get into this later, I think, but the reason why is, you know, I respect what Harold does, and I know that he puts in the time. And I have a feeling that he and I were kind of, without knowing it, kind of searching for the same thing, but maybe using different methods to get there. So let me start with, when I saw what you were doing, and I think I purchased everything that you've ever put out there, by the way, because it's always good stuff. Yeah, whether it's Young Guns or Ground Force, or, like, I just think that they're all good products. They're not terribly, you know, prohibitively expensive. You know, they're just good products, and they're easy to use, and you're very helpful. You know, if I've ever had a question, I'm pretty sure you'd probably replicate that for anybody. But, you know, when I see the torque screw, I wasn't sure what to make of it, you know, right away. But in fact, when I first started playing around with it, I had yet to look at the video series that accompanies it. Because when I get something new, I really try to challenge myself, all right, how are you going to use this, moron? Like, what are you going to do, you know, to kind of make this make sense for your kids? So I try to, you know, how would I use this? And so I'm going to use a couple, I don't know if it's an endorsement or a plug or what, but I've used connection balls forever, you know, from almost the beginning of when I opened my doors, and they're great. And then Pocket Path came along, and I think I was the first person in Pennsylvania to buy that. And, you know, so I bought like 10 right away, and it just became a more efficient way to teach, you know, connection and good habits. Not that there's anything wrong with the connection ball, not that we don't still use the connection ball, we do, but we were able to achieve things a little bit faster, more efficiently with the new product that was at that point, the Pocket Path. So why do I mention that? Well, this goes back to kind of what I suggested earlier, which was, I think we were kind of chasing the same thing. But you were using Force Place, the Wii boards and other things like that, and being more quantitative. And I was kind of maybe going more towards look, feel, and studying behavior of elite throwers, which led me to the back leg. And what I started to do was, I would play around with slide boards, and I would try to have my athletes mimic what looked like the first move of most high-level throwers. I say most because for every 15 high-level throwers, there's a, you know, a Chris Sale or a Dan Altavilla that'll do things differently and make you look stupid. And I get that. That's what's unique about baseball. It's not, there are no absolutes in pitching. But I think if you study, you know, what great throwers do, you will see a lot of similar things show up quite a bit. And so what we tried to do was, you know, use slide boards, use PVC pipes, ask them to mimic certain things, and then they would get down the mound faster, and we would see performance gains. Maybe not with a force plate, but, you know, with the radar gun when they would hop into, you know, what we call cage one, which is where we throw off the mound or ballistic throws. And so while remapping the lower half with the slide boards, we were able to get our players to move more efficiently, to produce better results on the radar gun. And that is usually, you know, the proving ground for most of these kids. That's what they, the number one thing they're looking for. There are other benefits, of course, but they don't seem to care. And so, you know, right. When I saw the torque screw, immediately I just had a sense of, boy, why didn't I think of that? And I remember, you know, Barton Smith, who's an engineer at Utah State, as soon as I started talking about the torque screw, he immediately reached out to me. And there's another example of a guy that I, you know, that you talked about earlier. Just ask and you'll get. I mean, I have learned much from him. It's crazy. So yeah. He and I went back and forth in a thread, and you jumped in a few times too. And basically what I tried to, you know, convey to Harold, who has – not Harold, to Barton, who has a young boy. I think he's 12 or 13 learning how to pitch, is that this is a more efficient way to do what I was after. So when I found your torque screw and then I watched your videos, I've added to them in terms of what we do. I've tried to take for players that can't create the first move, there are things I'll do that I will have them do in between that have happened by just pure accident. Just by trying to get people to not just, you know, you're never going to develop the glute strength necessary to do something in a day. But I think coordination's a big issue, especially with young kids. I have had a ton of success with really young kids using the torque screw. And I've been using it with girls this week, too. You know, if you just get them to coordinate how it feels to have your whole leg on the ground and you do some kind of very simple, you know, leg press on the ground, it just helps them feel that. And then they can replicate it on the torque screw. And the next thing you know, when I put them on flat ground and on the mound, you know, they look like Garrett Cole. And it's like, this is great. And then it shows up on the radar gun. They're throwing harder. All the pulse readings are good. Modus, whatever you want to call it, they're all good. And it's just been a very efficient tool. Something that used to take me a solid week and several hours. You know, I'm getting results in a half hour to 50 minutes with some of these kids, and it's fun. They love it. I mean, before I jumped on here with you, I just posted a video of, maybe I haven't yet, but I'm going to post a video of, you know, just a kid that was on the mound leaving the ground prematurely. And then I put him on the torque. He's a basketball player, so we don't get to see him as much, Harold. Usually when these kids play multiple sports, it's tough to get him in here and they get into some bad habits. So instead of going right back to the slide board, which what I would have done in November, I said, hey, come over here. He said, oh, I've been seeing you posting about this thing. And I'm like, yeah, well, come over here. Let's play around with it. And in 5 minutes, he had his leg back. You know, and it was just like that. And it's just it's a very usable tool that's rooted in, you know, good science, you know, good force plate readings and stuff like that. So I think it's a great tool. I think it really helps, you know, whether you're young, or I've got two pros back there right now playing around with it, whether you're young or whether you're an established, you know, professional player, it's just another tool in the tool belt to help you either repeat what you already do well or learn something new that maybe you weren't able to do before.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Yeah, so look, I really did believe this. I thought it was too simplistic when I first started doing it. We were doing it in-house, a bunch of different ideas, right? Like a bunch of different types of material. And finally kind of got something that worked, what we thought worked. And I was like, I'm going to make this thing look a little bit better, and I'm going to come up with a name and put a logo on it. And then I was like, oh, hey, you know what? Somebody reached out. I said, yeah, I might as well. Let me see if I can sell some of these things, right? Yeah. But it has been so cool to see the work that you're doing with this stuff. And my original reason for creating this thing is very different than sort of the direction that you've taken it. And really the direction that I'm using it for now. You were talking about the Wii Board stuff, and there was a movement that was occurring around ball release that I kept seeing some of the elite throwers do. And that's why I wanted to create this thing, was to give some immediate feedback on that without having to use a Wii board all the time.
Right.
So anyways, without trying to promote the product too much here, I want to talk about what you were just talking about, that first movement and the idea of what you're talking about, getting into the back leg better, right?
Yeah.
So we're talking about it, but I'm not sure if we've described it enough where people can understand what it is that we're talking about. So that first movement, movement being sort of where you are setting up the rear hip to be able to fire very forceful, right?
Yes, exactly. And so,
go ahead. Yep.
So I think, let me just go back to my original story about how everything I thought I knew was wrong. You know, I was taught to push off the rubber. And it's not that we don't push off the rubber, we do. It's just when. And I think exactly. if you do it early, you're going to get into a situation where, you know, Randy Sullivan's been on this for years, where you're just going to get into your quad and just kind of go towards the third base dugout and then make a hard left turn home if you're right-handed, the opposite if you're left-handed. And so, I think the phrase I use to describe this to Barton, and I'm going to try to stick with the corkscrew, is that I seem to see elite throwers, hard throwers, that are very good at what I call, and I'm not sure what the official name is, holding the ground. So if you're a right-handed pitcher and you've got your foot against the rubber, most players, again, most, not all. I know people will tweet and yell that here's Chris Sale doing something. I get it. But most players are just really good at holding the ground, and young players are not. And so I just thought that, you know, okay, these young kids, if I can get them to hold the ground a little bit, they're not going to light up the radar gun now. They're young, but it's going to instill in them good habits that when Mother Nature does take over between 12 and 14 and they are getting stronger, that they've kind of hardwired a foundational good habit. And I call it first move. You know, so if we can just kind of get – and then I'm kind of big on handbrake. That's a story for another day too. But I just feel like that is such an important part of pitching and throwing in general. Now, obviously, pitching is different than playing the infield or the outfield. But that habit – and I see this in girls a lot, Harold. I mean, it's like an endemic in girls. Like, they push forward and they don't rotate. Like, there's so many things – I think the whole throw like a girl in quotes thing – I know that's a terrible thing to say, but I think it comes from what people see and they just don't know what it is. And that goes back to like, you know, to the torque screw again, because, you know, I've had players who come in here and, you know, they've had well-intentioned coaches say, hey, you just don't get down the mound well. You don't do this well. You don't do, like, people know good when they see it generally, if you're in the baseball community long enough.
Yeah.
But I think there's a disconnect on how to get people to do whatever it is you see. And so that's when some of the old school guys get kind of mad or whatever, because they think everything belongs to them or whatever. But I think the future belongs to, whether you use tech or not, how can you get people to do whatever it is that the data says or whatever your eye says is correct or nice or acceptable? And so to me, I was just better able to get these players to do what high level throwers do, elite throwers do, using your tool and a couple other things and some simplistic terms that I like to use, than I was without it. And that's why, you know, I've been tweeting about it a lot, because it's fun to share something that I know is going to save people time, you know, frustration, all the things that make people get frustrated with baseball, because it is so challenging and hard, you know. So when I find something, I don't hide it. Like, you know, I want to get it out there as best I can with my limited footprint, you know, on social media, to say, hey, this is pretty cool. Here's how I'm using it, you know, and if I can help you, let me know, I will, you know, and I've had people, you know, DM me and ask me how you can do this or that or whatever. And I try to do my best to answer everybody and help them. And this goes back to, you know, the father of the injured 12-year-old kid when I started this thing. So it all kind of dovetails together. And I think that first move, that you kind of that kind of happens in most elite throwers, is not that hard to teach. You just have to kind of do the work. You know, it's not everybody is built the same. Not everybody is, you know, has the same length of maybe bad habits. I'll give you a quick example, because I know I'm running on here. But you know, someone that's played organized travel baseball or gone to a pitching coach for like 3 years, I'm going to have a much harder time breaking them than I am a 9-year-old that just wants to throw the ball as hard as he can. You know, the mechanical, yeah, the mechanical stuff is hard to undo. For me, having something foreign has always been a helper. Whether I'm teaching somebody how to hit and I'll bring out a net, or whether I'm teaching somebody how to throw and I'll bring out a pocket path. If I put something that's, you know, unfamiliar into the task, they're generally more likely to accept what I'm telling them to do because they have no familiarity with it. That's been my experience. So the torque screw, when you see it and all these kids, these high school kids walk in and they see the pros using it, they're like, oh, what's that? I want to use that. And then like they easily get into just good habits. And here's the last thing I'll say about it that I think is what this is the direction my facility is moving to. Let's put it this way. I want to be able to pull off elite moves that usually are only found in ballistic throws all the time at low intent. Like if we can do these things more often, because if, you know, there are some kids that get into good positions when they pull down, well, we can't pull down every day, you know, and there's some kids that they can't get into good positions pulling down. So finding ways to get them to repeat, you know, good ballistic movements, I think is where I'd like to go with my facility. And the torque screw has been a positive move in that direction for us for sure.
Yeah. Well, good to hear. So look, so just really going further into this back leg thing, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
The torque screw came about, the name itself comes from screwing the foot into the ground,
mm-hmm.
and then holding the ground to create torque in the system.
Right.
That's what this whole thing is. And that's what we're trying to accomplish with this. Right. And that's why I said, I thought it was almost too simplistic at first, but it's been so easy to teach with it that we had to do it. And I'll tell you something that I've been using a lot recently when it comes to the back leg that has really helped a lot of the athletes that I work with. You know what like a child-proof bottle is, like for pills and stuff like that?
Sure.
Or I don't even know if it's pills, but the one where you have to push down and turn, you can't just turn it, right?
Right.
So that's what I'm trying to tell them they have to do with their back foot. You can't just turn it. Like that's right. Not the idea. So so many of them here, the stuff you're talking about, they've been to other people and they played on this team and that team and they're told, rotate, 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 right?
Right,
And that's great. But all you're doing is turning the bottle. It ain't ever going to open unless you actually put force down into it, right? That's what we want to do. Put the force down into it. And you can't just put force into it and then turn it. You have to put force, maintain the force down into it and turn. That's exactly what we're trying to do with the back leg.
100%. If I could add one thing to that, some people will do things to cheat a drill, whether it's hitting or throwing or whatever. And you can get the click, the initial click in the torque screw by just putting pressure on the front part of your foot. But the cue for these guys is I need you to feel that throughout the whole foot, whole leg. If you're up on your toe, you're abandoning other parts of the leg that we need. And like you said, when you push on that cap, if you only push on one half of the cap, you're maybe not going to get the click you need to open the bottle or whatever. You need to apply pressure evenly, or at least try to. Because when we get into our toes, we get into our quad, and that's that early heel release that we see trouble with. And then they'll kind of run through their throw down the mound. So I agree 100%. I'm definitely going to steal that pill bottle thing that you just told me and use that, because I have seen people, you know, they'll see a pro doing================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================�================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================�================================================================================================================================================================================================================�================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================![ They can, you know, perhaps use it incorrectly. And so I'll come over and say, hey, don't go for the look. Go for the feel. We want this to be organic. When you use this device, this torque screw, what is going to happen if done correctly will happen organically, naturally, if you're doing it correct. Now, you can cheat it, and, you know, that's not going to help you. So we really try to, and that's why I break down things in between, you know, the torque screw and kind of force them to feel certain things with the middle of their foot or whatever. And it just aids in the process. But there's certainly, I think, needs to be, when you're doing this correctly, you want to put force into the ground and not just spin, because spinning is not forceful, you know?
So. No, not at all. Not at all. So let's talk about the second part just a little bit. I know a lot of the younger athletes, and more than likely the ones that don't throw very hard, and in particularly, you mentioned the girls. A lot of the girls have a hard time with this. They usually sort of do very similar things to the younger athletes. or the guys that don't throw very hard, and that they have a hard time maintaining that force, right? Like they can sometimes get that first move right, but they just can't maintain that force. So with the younger athletes, a lot of times it's just an issue of, and you alluded to this earlier, they don't really have the strength yet, right? So it's going to be a little bit tougher for them. Right. So something that's not quite so heavy, like they're going to be able to pull off a little easier. I don't know if you want to, like, just some kind of little mat or whatever. They can pull that off. Yeah, so they can pull that off. They can pull off the movement.
Right.
And that's where we have to be careful of, because it's not just about pulling off the movement, right? It's about maintaining that force and that connection into the ground while you're doing that. And so what I see, at least, and you can tell me if this is what you see or not, is a lot of the ones that can't pull off that second part, they are just jumping out of the back leg way too soon.
That's really well said. And I'm going to pose something. Again, I have a basketball player that was in here, and he was a diehard last year. He's already committed to a D2 here, so he's kind of taking it easy, if you will. But what you just said, again, very well said. What they'll do is, you know, they'll push off and lose connection with the ground, and it just starts this running through the throw thing that I don't know for a fact, but I would suspect force plate data would tell us that that's, you know, not where the sauce is, you know. So I think that getting them to get that first move right, to hold the ground, is the first step. And then I do play around with a little front foot stuff with them, because I feel like it's been kind of beneficial for them to feel the backside hold the ground if I challenge them to get out in front with the left leg, with the glove slide leg. So, you know, I agree. Like, if you push out early, your foot's going to come up, and you're going to lose what it is that we're after, that we see so many, you know, high level throwers pull off.
Yep. No, look, and make no mistake about this. We also can't get stuck in that back leg, right? So going back to force plate data, one of the big things in terms of velocity in general pertains to momentum, right? So when we're looking at the force in the back leg going into internal rotation, like that IR force, and then that force upon the front leg. So a lot of people get caught up in the front leg and what that looks like, the knee extending or locking out or whatever the case may be, right? Like that all matters, but we don't want to get stuck in that back leg, but we absolutely have to be able to move down the mound with momentum into the front leg as well. And that's one thing I do want to make sure I cleared up a little bit. We do want to get out of that back leg. We don't want to be stuck in it.
Right.
But we don't want to get out of it so early either. And that's what you were talking about earlier with the timing of it all being so critical.
So, again, because we did, you know, the yeoman's work with the slide boards and PVC pipes, what I like to do is what we find, you know, the back knee and how that behaves as you're making a good hinge down the mound, we see patterns there too. So what we'll tend to do is, hey, you know, we'll use a cue where we're going to ask them to pull off this one move where they're, you know, making a move forward, and that helps them hold their hinge all put together or maintained by their connection to the ground, of course, the back foot. And generally, we see what we want to see when we do that. But make no mistake, you can go too early and you can go too late. We want to be somewhere in the middle. And that's where we see most of the hard throwers live when we study, you know, the behavior, like behavior of you know, high level throwers.
Yeah. So I don't know what you call this, but it's sort of a joke, I guess, but not really a joke. It's really what happens, but it just sounds funny. I tell my player, hey, but don't move away.
Yeah, absolutely.
you have to get out, but don't let your back leg go out.
Yeah, and you know, it's, I think it goes back to one of the, like, when you see it, you see it. You know, it just looks powerful, and that's, I'm still a big proponent of video. I use mocap a lot, but, and you know, just if you're able to show a kid, hey, here you are here, okay, here you are there, and there you're 82, over here you're 79. Well, there's a reason why. I mean, like, when you're able to do that, you just get such more investment in terms of buy-in from the player, you know. And I think that when you're able to help them get into more efficient movement patterns and help them repeat them, And again, your tool is one that we use, and there we have even more crude methods with slide boards that take longer, but it just shows up in the velocity. Again, most of the people that come to my place, the pros come for pitch design, the young kids come because they all want to throw harder. So when you're able to show them that you're throwing harder, you're going to get their attention. And again, I don't write the rules. I don't like that, you know, perfect game and PBR will rank you higher if you throw harder, but that's the world we live in. So right. I'm going to help these kids do what I can to hopefully throw a little bit safer and maybe add a few miles an hour as well. And your tool, among many, has helped to become more efficient at it. And I really like that, you know, guys like you and Barton are asking questions and pushing the game forward. You know, obviously he's more into aerodynamics of baseball and seam shifted wakes and stuff. And you're doing, you know, the tough day-to-day tedious work of force plate that and stuff like that. And it just makes it so much easier to help so many kids, and a lot of us stand on the shoulders of a lot of those kids, a lot of those guys like you that did a lot of the tedious work. I remember when I first got into pitch design, like we were doing like finger pressure, knuckle pressure, daylight, and just like right. mapping everything because there was nothing out there like 4 years ago. And now you can get a Rapsodo certification in a half hour, and you know you can really help some people, and that's right, great. No, I like that. You know, I like that. So.
Yep. Hey, look, so before we wrap up, you talked about the video video aspect of this, and mm-hmm. I sort of want to tie this back into the back leg stuff, right? We were talking about players that get out too early and players that get stuck in the back leg, right? So a lot of times, this stuff you can see on video, right? Like the ones that are stuck on the back leg, a lot of times you look at them on video, and right before they go to the land, they look like they're about to throw the ball into the ceiling because their shoulders are, you know, angled up towards the ceiling, right? Like, you need to get going a little bit more, right? And on the other end, you can just look, okay, you don't have, like, your knee is, your back knee dove in almost immediately, right? Like, you didn't do anything to maintain force back there on the backside, right?
Right.
And that, going back to what we talked about with the younger athletes, and they can't really pull off that second part of the torque screw. Mm-hmm. So many of the younger athletes, in my opinion, get out of that back leg really early. And that is something that I talk about in terms of long toss more. But now that we're having this conversation, I realize there's a big area of or room to improve using the torque screw on my own end with the younger guys because of that. So a lot of the younger guys for me, I have been adamant that they need to long toss with as much air as possible and do as few throws on a line as possible because they're getting out of the back leg. And if we don't train that back leg to get – if we don't train to get into that back leg, it's going to be very hard going forward. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. You know, this is one thing that Brantley Freeman says a lot. You know, if you mess up first move and you mess up the back leg, your body chases for the rest of the delivery. You know, and it chases better mechanics, connection, whatever you want to call it. And what we're really after, okay, is exactly what you said. And if we do too much of the push-off stuff early, and I think a lot of young players do because, you know, they're very linear when they throw. They don't quite get to rotational momentum as well as older players do. And I think that becomes a habit that builds and builds over time. And kind of going back to what we mentioned earlier, you know, those are habits that are hard to break. So I've been doing a lot of work, and I call it the, you know, the get over or whatever. I've been trying to get my younger athletes to kind of like just play around with these advanced mechanics. Are you going to be, you know, throwing no hitters in Cooperstown tomorrow? No. But I think if we can start them off with good habits, by the time they grow into their bodies, I think they're going to have a better chance of success. And I couldn't agree anymore with the long toss stuff. That was one of the things I wish I had known about when my son was younger. I mean, you know, we didn't do any of that stuff. You know, we were taught that, you know, and I'll never forget what Alan Jaeger told me, you know, Matt, the arm is not the one thing in the world that you get better at by doing it less. And I was of that opinion like 10 years ago, like, oh, just, you know, rest, and you'll throw harder and you'll throw better. Well, I didn't.
Right.
You know, and so there's so many things like that that I just didn't know so many years ago that I'm, you know, a little bit better at now. And I'd love to see me be wrong about some stuff and get better at it tomorrow or the next week. And I know you would too. Like, if you have an open mind and you're willing to chase a better way for your athletes, they know it, you know, and they'll go through a wall for you. And I feel like I have got, you know, 40 whippy old kids in here and, you know, however many more young ladies or whatever that'll, you know, they'll go through a wall for me because I'm on the phone with guys like you. I talk to whoever I need to go and get whatever I need to make them better. And that's kind of, you know, that's really all I care about. It's just being able to help young players. There's nothing better than walking into work every day and chasing new ideas to help athletes get better. And it makes you feel like you're a part of their journey when they text you or they tell you, hey, coach, I just signed, or, hey, I'm going to commit to here, or, you know, hey, I just got this scholarship, or, hey, I just hit a home run. I mean, I love the spring because I get videos like every day of a girl hitting a home run or a kid throwing a one hitter. Or nothing. It's just, it's so fun to be part of their journey and to help them. And I think that, you know, having conversations like this with you, and, you know, I listen to podcasts all the time. And I think that if I can get anything from, you know, listening to somebody that's worked really hard in player development, I feel like that's going to make me better. And I think that that's why this game is progressing so fast, because we have so many people that are kind of taking this direction and want to, you know, to use all the methods available to them. And there are so many, you know, so many shoulders we can stand on now to really push the game forward.
Yep, well, that's what it's all about. Well, look, I've seen plenty of the videos you're putting out. You've got a lot of young studs you're working with. So keep up the good work. And I guess we'll wrap up now. So Matt, thanks for coming on, man. This was awesome.
Harold, I really appreciate it, and looking forward to moving things forward with you, and always working with you to help my guys. And as always, anything I can do to help you guys out down there, I'm happy to do it, because you've helped me out so much. So I appreciate you, sir. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Mazingo Baseball Podcast. I need y'all to do me a favor. Go check out all the social media accounts. It's Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Mazingo Baseball. The website's mazingobaseball.com. And be sure to check out the e-guide I wrote called Young Guns. It's a 90-page e-guide dedicated to pitching development from the youth levels all the way through. It's got a ton of supplemental videos that come along with it, including the Ground Force video series. And if you feel up to it, leave me a comment. Let me know what you think of the show.